the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site, episode 496. This is the third show of the week, and second of our preview shows. Seth and I recorded 495, our preview picks and prop bets show, and once again, this is the third time this season that we've got him, Kyle Madsen from Niners Wire, now officially a friend of the show. Kyle is joining me to talk about Cardinals 49ers. Kyle, how the heck are you? I'm glad to have you back. And it's been one heck of a season for San Francisco this year.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for asking me to come on your podcast. It's really, really nice of you. They're good, man. The Niners are good. I'm not the kind of person that's just always like, yeah, everything's awesome. In fact, it's very much the opposite. Like even in 2019, I was like, yeah, I don't know if they can hang with like the Chiefs. And I mean, lo and behold, fourth quarter comes in the Super Bowl and they can't hang with the Chiefs. And then 21, it's like going to the NFC title game. I don't think they can beat the Rams a third time. Last year, I had questions about Brock Purdy big time, especially with, you know, how he looked against Dallas, and he's got to go to Philly. It's like, and then he gets hurt and the season ends. But this year, I don't have a good argument for why they're not the best team in the NFL.
Right. It talent wise, we've been saying it for a long time. They have one of the best, if not the most talented running back in Christian McCaffrey. Their pass catchers are incredible. Between Brandon Ayuk, who's having a fantastic year, Deebo Samuel, who is just absolutely a difference maker, George Kittle, you know, one of the two best tight ends in the NFL. Then you've got Trent, like their offensive line is great. You've got the best tackle in the league. You've got defensive linemen up the wall. It's like just elite talent in the front seven. And then you've got good players in the secondary. There's talent in the secondary. It's not the same level that you have at all the other positions. And on top of that, Brock Purdy is even better than he was last year. And that was the big question. Last year you talked about the stat on his intermediate throws was insane. It was fluky stat. He started the year even better. When the Cardinals played the 49ers, all he did was, you know, complete all but one pass.
Insane.
Yeah, and now he did have a three. Since then, the 49ers went from rolling to looking like, oh, nope, now the wars are coming. And then they've won five in a row, and now they're the number one seed in the NFC. What happened in that three-game stretch? I know I could say probably point to if there's one player that I think makes the difference in that offense to, I think Deebo Samuel, personally, what he does is kind of special to that offense because of the intensity that he brings and the flexibility that he brings. And then without him, Purdy perhaps isn't the elite. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about Purdy because you have to, and that is what everyone in the country is talking about because they're saying, look, he's just a check down, but every metric says MVP. Every metric says MVP, but then you look at the team and you're like, everyone else you feel is better at their positions that Purdy is his position. That's the weird thing about that.
Right. Yeah, the MVP thing's the same. We can put a pin in that for a second because you brought up Deebo and Trent Williams in that three-game losing streak. So I was very staunchly on board with Debo's absence was not the problem because it started in week six, right? Trent Williams rolls his ankle up. He played, but he was very clearly compromised. Deebo Samuel fractures his shoulder on the first play of the game. I think he played two snaps after that and then got taken out. So they ostensibly missed Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel for three games, and they lost all three. And at first, I was very staunch in the camp that, like, yo, they miss Trent Williams way more than they miss Deebo Samuel. Like, last year, they didn't have Deebo for three games toward the end of the year, and they were fine. They scored 30-plus in every game. And I'm like, look, Trent Williams is the issue. You know, Jalen Moore, their backup left tackle, is fine. He's probably a little below league average, but then you see what Deebo Samuel does for this offense in Seattle. on a short week. And then he does it again the next week in Philadelphia. And then he does it the next week at home against Seattle. And every time they need an offensive spark, they just go to Debo. Against Seattle last week, they're down 10-7, third and 11, right around midfield. Yeah, shot play to Debo, touchdown. And that just gets things rolling. So I think I agree with you now, because there's certain things they can do with Debo in the backfield, the way they can manipulate linebackers with putting him in motion, putting McCaffrey in motion, that defenses aren't going to react the same when Ray McCloud is doing that motion, you know? It's just not, and there's no disrespect to Ray McCloud. He's fine, but he's not Debo Samuel, who's an all-pro caliber player, right? So I think I started leaning over the last few weeks that I think Debo is probably more important to their offense as a whole, just because of the way Shanahan can manipulate defenders with him. Trent Williams is obviously incredible, but it's the last 3 weeks have been pretty hard to deny, given just how individually brilliant Debo has been.
It is, and especially coming off the year last year. Like, we 2 years ago, we're like, oh my gosh. Then last year, he was hurt all year. Like, it was a mix of a lot of things that just didn't work out. But the dynamic, because there are more productive receivers. Like, he does a lot, but the dynamic he adds is it. Aside from and there's another difference, Mick, and I think this guy is undervalued around the league, but I think Kyle Shanahan probably understands. Kyle Juszczyk, I think the ability that he has, think it makes causes problems for defenses because you have him and it's a second running back, but it's kind of not like a second running back.
Yeah, what the Niners could do formationally, and this isn't new, right?
This has been years, but their scheme has just been so really, really good.
Right, they can run that 21 personnel with two running backs and a tight end and two receivers, and they can have it be 21, they can have it be 12, they can have it be empty. They can, with the versatility of Kittle and Juszczyk and McCaffrey and Debo Samuel, and then you mentioned Brandon Ayuk forks up. I think Kyle Shanahan has just kind of perfected what this offense needs to be or should be. And it's just kind of a step ahead of where modern defenses are, because if they want to run 21 personnel out there and you want to go heavy because you're going, oh, it's a fullback and a running back, they're going to run it. Then they're going to spread you out and you're going to have your third linebacker on the field trying to cover Christian McCaffrey one-on-one. If you want to do that and you go small, okay, great. They're going to play power football and they're going to run it down your throat. Like, that's the kind of ideal, right? And I think he's just kind of perfected it. And this is one of the things with the Niners offense that is, I think it's a really telling sign, was Shil Kapadia in The Ringer does a picks column every week. And he mentioned in his picks column that of the 10 most, most efficient offensive games this season, the Niners have 5 of them in terms of success rate, right? The Niners have 5 of the 10, and there's no other repeats in the top 10. So the Niners have 5, the rest of the NFL have 5. The Niners are also the only team with a top 10 performance past week 5. They have one in week 7 and then one in week 13 against Philly. So that to me says that this offense continues evolving. There's going to be things that defenses are going to try and do to stop it, and Kyle Shanahan's going to have a solution for it. And I think that's kind of been a big key to their success as they've rolled into December here.
Now the question that comes to, as we, I think we have to talk about Brock Purdy, is how good is he? I think we've come to the conclusion that now metrically, he statistically matches up with some of the great seasons we've seen from quarterbacks, MVP level.
Yeah.
We know that there are things he might not be good at, but in this offense, he does everything well. And has he even, like even that stretch, and people are saying, oh, there is happening, and then he's come back stronger. But you look at this offense and what it was before Brock Purdy, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, a very good quarterback, definitely a solid quarterback in the NFL, did not reach this level of consistency and efficiency. Do you actually think that Brock Purdy could be this year's MVP?
Okay. There's a lot here. There's nuance to this for me anyway. If you're just cut and dry, he can't be the MVP because there are 15 other quarterbacks you could plug in and they would do as well or better for the 49ers offense and fine. If the take is, it can't be Brock Purdy because look at his supporting cast. Okay, fine. Like, I'm not going to super argue with it. In fact, I'm at the front of the Tyreek Hill should probably be the MVP train,
so
but that's a separate argument.
That's so hard to do with receivers. It would be great if he did.
No doubt, but a position player has to have a like statistical outlier season,
yes.
Right? They have to have a monster, like, holy smokes, you've never seen. If he goes for 2,200 yards and 20 touchdowns, 20-plus touchdowns, all of a sudden you're going, oh, wow, that's a statistical outlier season in a year where, hey, no quarterback really blew the doors off. Anyways, that's a separate thing. For Purdy, my thought is he should very much be in the discussion. And I just think when you look at what he's doing efficiency-wise in all levels of the passing game, he's been excellent. And at some point, like, the numbers matter.
They do.
Whether he wins MVP or not, though, like, if he doesn't win, I'm not going to be like, this is an outrage. And so much of, and here's the other thing, so much of this race, I guess, is going to be decided here in the last 4 weeks.
Right.
If the 49ers lose to Arizona this weekend, Brock Purdy's not going to be the MVP. Like, he's just out. Okay? No, seriously. Whereas, conversely, let's say the Niners win this weekend and then Lamar Jackson comes into Levi Stadium and beats San Francisco by 2 touchdowns on Christmas, all of a sudden Lamar Jackson's in the conversation. Like, that's going to be over these next 4 weeks, we're really going to figure this out. And let's just say everything just kind of plays out how it is. And it's Brock and Dak at the end of the year. I think you're going to get a lot of voters voters like Aaron Schatz from FTN Network, who the guy who invented DVOA. And you're going to get voters like him who dive really deep into the metrics. And they're going to look and they're going to go, okay, who is truly the best player? And then I think you're going to get a lot of people who just go, the Niners are the one seed, because if they win out, they'll be the one seed. So
yeah.
That's just the hypothetical. The Niners are the one seed, and Brock Purdy threw for 4,600 yards and 36 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. He averaged 9.8 yards per attempt, and he led the league in all these categories. Yeah, that in completion rate and passer rating and this and that. Okay, yeah, he's the MVP. That's the path for, I think. And again, that's going to come down to how voters go about their voting. So I think he belongs in the conversation. Am I going to be outraged if he doesn't win it? No. But he's definitely deserving of being in the discussion.
Any significant change in terms of what the 49ers are doing or who is playing than when the Cardinals face them in week 4?
Yeah, their secondary is a little bit different. Well, Treverius Ward is probably, I would be pretty surprised if Treverius Ward plays. He hurt his groin on the second play of the game against Seattle. He's their best corner by a wide margin. The 49ers since week, is it week 10? That can't be right. The 49ers lead the league in pass breakups by a lot over, maybe it's the season. I forget exactly the stretch of games I was looking at, but their secondary is better now than it was. But if Treverius Ward's not playing, then you're probably looking at Ambry Thomas, who's been really good on the outside opposite of Treverius Ward. They moved Diamador Lenore down to the slot. Diamador Lenore was outside back in week 4. So that'd be a little bit different. You'd probably be looking at Ambry Thomas and Diamador Lenore on the outside with Isaiah Oliver in the slot. And Isaiah Oliver's not that good of a player down there, at least coverage-wise. So that would be a little bit different. Talanoa Hufanga tore his ACL a few weeks back. So he would not be in. It'd be the rookie Jair Brown out of Penn State, their third round pick from this year's draft. He's been really good though. He already has a couple interceptions constantly around the ball. That's why they drafted him. He's a turnover machine in college. And, he's been in the middle of a couple as a pro already. But offensively, like, you're probably looking at largely the same group. And then just those couple of changes defensively. And Chase Young's on the team now.
Yeah.
But Eric Armstead and Javon Hargrave are out. I don't want to say they're out. They're probably going to be out with injuries. So it's going to be, you know, Chase Young and Nick Bosa are still there, but it's going to be backup defensive tackles on the inside.
Kinlaw with a big game a couple of weeks ago. I saw the Kinlaw come up with some stats. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. He had a sack against Jalen Hurts, which was legitimate, but his first sack against Jalen Hurts, his first sack since 2020, was the one where Hurts dropped back like 15 years and then just fell down, and Kinlaw happened to be in the vicinity when he fell, so he got to go over and touch him down first. So, yeah, no, Kinlaw's been better for sure. He looks like a productive NFL player now. But that would be if I'm the 49ers, that's something I'd be worried about this week for sure, is that lack of interior presence.
Let's do that next. Coming up next on the Rise Up Spirit podcast, Best Serve Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's talk about this particular matchup and make picks, predictions, and that's fun stuff. That's coming next on Rise Up Spirit. We're back on the Rise Up Spirit podcast, Best Serve Cardinals Talk on the web. Talking with Kyle Madsen over at NinersWire.com. Our sister site, third time he's been on the show between previewing the season, previewing week 4, now in week 15. How do you like this matchup this week? It's different because obviously Buddha's back. Kyler's back. That's the big one. And the Cardinals lost 35-16 in week 4, but offensively, they looked okay. Josh Dobbs did a good job. They moved the ball down the field. The problem was defensively, they had no answer for anything. Brock Purdy completed 20 of 21 passes. Christian McCaffrey did whatever he wanted. Brandon Ayuk had 6 catches and over 140 yards. And so defensively, they were no match. And I, looking at this matchup, I don't see a path to stopping that 49ers offense still, because McCaffrey's still a beast. The Cardinals do not stop the run particularly well. And they were if Pittsburgh's a different beast, because Pittsburgh's terrible offensively, but the Rams did whatever they wanted. And do you see any resistance? I think the Cardinals do. They're basically playing rookie corners right now. They benched Marco Wilson. They're down Kaiser White, their best linebacker. He's done for the season. And so, yeah, they've got Josh Woods running the defense, career special teams guy. Been doing all right, but do you see any real resistance on what the 49ers will be able to do offensively?
No. Not the sick irony of this is I don't, to answer your question, but I also feel that way about a lot of teams this year. The Niners are just a really hard offense to stop. But the sick irony of this is Isaiah Simmons actualizing what the Cardinals were hoping he would be like the perfect player to have against this offense.
That's what they hoped he would be.
Alas. Alas. No, I don't. On the other hand, I don't want to step on a future question here, but I also love the over in this game, because I don't know if the Niners are going to be able to get a ton of stops either, given where they're at injury wise.
Yeah, that is the other thing. Now we don't know, the show will have dropped on Saturday, but we're recording on a Thursday afternoon, so we don't know what the final injury report is. But Kyle's saying that it probably Traverius Ward won't play. Probably maybe not Eric Armstead or Javon Hargrave. So they're both their best interior defenders will be out. And honestly, the Cardinals have played well offensively at home, except that Rams game. With the exception of the Rams game, they've been pretty good at home. They were averaging 25 points a game at home. Excluding the Rams game, which was an abomination. I think the difference is like the offense statistic. What's the interesting about since Kyler's return, the offense statistically isn't significantly better. It's just a little bit better, like a point or two. Their defense is allowing like 4 points less in a game. And that's because the offense is better. Like that's the thing. So he's not turning the ball over, though. They had 10 turnovers in the 5 games leading up to Kyler's return. They've only turned the ball over twice, and they haven't turned the ball over in the last 2 games, and Kyler's got 91 straight passes without an interception, and so they're protecting the football. I do think the only way the Cardinals can compete in this game, and I think they'll be able to, is I think James Conner will be able to be successful in our best bets for this game. You had the over, in particular the alternate over, and I've got Conner easily hitting the 51.5, and they hadn't put the alternate lines. I'm like, 70
plus.
That's
his rushing yards total?
Yes. He had 52 in 11 carries in week 4. So I'm like, hit that, and then when the alternate lines come out tomorrow, and I'm expect it'll probably 70 plus will be somewhere probably about plus 150. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm taking that one.
I would do that. I would 100% do that. Yeah, I especially if I'm Arizona, I'm looking at this, and you know, Jonathan Gannon, God bless him. I know he's a defensive guy, but at some point you got to be real with yourself and kind of look at your personnel and the personnel the 49ers have. The move is try and grind it out, I think. Just shorten the game as much as humanly possible and see if you can't get a turnover, limit possessions, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're in the fourth quarter and you're up 5 with 4 minutes left and you have the ball. Now, I mean, is that possible? Is that something you're going to be able to pull off? I don't know. But that's, I think, probably the goal if you're Arizona, but I think we're getting a little bit of a shootout.
Yeah, and honestly, I was more confident about the Cardinals covering it plus 13.5, plus 14 when it opened, at plus 12.5 right now. I think the line, what is it, Niners minus 12.5 right now. I'm a little less confident, but what I previewed when I wrote for the Sports Weekly, I'm like 31-20, mm-hmm. in which I saw you were predicting 30-21, 31-20, and I'm like, that is reasonable, but I kind of thought that would be the same thing that happened last time and then got burnt with the 19-point loss. They scored the extra touchdown late in the game. I was hoping they would just kneel it down kneel it down at the end of the game, and then Brock got his rushing touchdown. I'm like, please kneel it down.
Man, yeah, I don't with how banged up they are defensively, I think 31-20 or 30-21, something like that. That really feels that feels like a good spot where the alternate total was 50.5, and that just feels right to me.
Yeah. At the same time, I could see it still doing that with 42-10.
Yeah, that wouldn't. That's the other thing. If the Niners somehow come up with a couple of turnovers, and I know that Kyler has been good in that respect, but if they do get a couple of turnovers, like, it could get ugly really quick.
Yeah, and so the over still might work. I'm just what the Cardinals did, they were able to grind it out with the ground game, James Conner, Trey McBride. Now the difference is, I can't bank on a big game from Trey McBride when you've got Fred Warner on the field. That's the only thing that I can't really count on that, because.
Yeah,
Fred Warner again with the disparity in talent. How is it that the 49ers have elite talent at almost every level of the offense and defense? It's stupid. It's not fair. I don't like it as a big man in the NFC West. And yeah, but hey,
yeah, Fred Warner's pretty good.
Yeah, he is. It's
I guess Steve Wilks just said that he expects Dre Greenlaw to play. Which would be a pretty significant boost for the 49ers in the second.
Yeah, round. That's that too. But then again, I don't think Steve Wilks. I don't have a problem with Steve Wilks.
I know. Yeah.
But also Steve Wilks. His beat was so bad here. All right. So a little bit of predictions. I know you got your show that you've got to get to in a few minutes. Let's talk this. We both kind of have the same type of score prediction. How many yards do you think that McCaffrey goes through this with? We'll talk total yards, because he had 177 total last time, 106 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. How bad is the damage that he does to the Cardinals this weekend?
Give me like 100 and let's do 109 on the ground. Give me like 140 scrimmage yards and a touchdown.
That seems pretty good. Yeah. Any turnovers on either side?
I could see Purdy throwing one for sure. Like, there's always that risk when you live in the middle of the field the way the Niners do. He's been good down the field, like not putting the ball in trouble when he takes a shot. but he gets a little bit of pressure and he's going to try and let it rip into one of those tight windows in the middle. If you get, you know, a safety crashing down, or if you get last week, the one he threw to Brandon Ayuk, or he threw an interception on a pass intended for Brandon Ayuk, Ayuk and him just weren't on the same page. That could happen. So, yeah, I mean, maybe, but you got to get the Cardinals would have to get pressure on him, I think. It's pretty rare that he has time to throw and throws a battle.
Purdy had no, like, he didn't have to make hard throws. Everything was open.
Yeah.
Everything was open in week four.
Yeah.
If we had to.
I'm going to go turn. You know what? No, I'm going to predict no turnovers. I think we're going to get a turnover free game.
On either side. That'll be fun. I want to see that. Honestly, what I'm hoping to see, one of the things I want to see from the Cardinals in the last four games, they're in good place draft-wise, but one of the things I want to see is to Kyler have one of those ceiling games, one of those games where you're like, oh, Kyler's back. This is what we saw 2 years ago. You know, even when the defense, if it's a boat race and if the defense is not stopping 49ers at all, but it would be fantastically fun to see Kyler throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns in a game like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, Connor to go for 120 and still lose 38-27.
Just mapping out the good loss. I've been that dude with where the Niners were for a long time.
There's no way in the world I'm going
to
say
art to it.
If there's a game like the Cardinals can beat the Bears, but of their last four games, I think if there's a game that they maybe, just maybe, could F around and win, it would be the Eagles game for a number of reasons, because the Eagles defense is terrible right now.
It's really bad.
And two, you've got the whole Gannon and Rawls effect going back into Philly. There's a little extra there, so I could see that. I don't see. The Cardinals at best are going to be competitive in this game, and it's not going to.
The Cardinals are coming off their bye, and the Niners are coming off the most brutal three game stretch on their schedule, where it was Thursday at Seattle, then at Philly, then home Seattle. So that is maybe a silver lining for Arizona. But, yeah, I think at some point the talent gap is wide enough.
Yes. The beginning of the game. I could see maybe San Francisco coming out flat, but I don't think the Cardinals will not be able to contain them throughout the game.
That's just kind of – that's basically what happened last week against Seattle. Seattle was up 10-7. The Niners hit Debo on a long touchdown. They go into the half up 14-10. Then it was just kind of
And it was a 12-point – like, granted, you know, Seattle covered.
Mm-hmm.
So – yeah. You know, great teams cover. Sorry, Niners. Yep. They were not great last week.
No, they weren't. Counted as a loss, basically.
But yeah, so I think we kind of see this going the same way. I would not be surprised to see the 49ers just punch them in the face and then the car, like, if they get up two scores and the Cardinals then aren't able to use the run game, then it will get ugly in a hurry like it did against Cleveland, like the way it did against Los Angeles. And so there's that. So awesome. Any other fun predictions do you have for this game that what we can see?
I'm going to go multi-touchdown game for Brandon Ayuk.
Ooh, coming back to.
He set a new career high in receiving yards last week. He caught a 45-yard pass in the third quarter that got him to 1,023. Last year, he had 1,015 the whole season. He got to 1,023 last week, and he did it on 23 fewer catches than he had all of last year.
I like Ayuk.
Bananas.
I like Ayuk.
Bananas. He is such a good player, dude. He is such a good player.
He is. He is.
Yeah.
We've got two things. And my wife is not a 49ers fan. She's a Cardinals fan. But she...
okay.
Hold sentiment for Brandon Ayuk from ASU, Brock Purdy from here in the East Valley here in Arizona. And so
Perry?
Perry High School, I think, is where it was. Down in Chandler, I think. Chandler Gilbert. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of thing. You've been around here.
It's the same spot. Yeah.
it's East Valley, Phoenix, or West Valley, and other than that,
whatever someone asks where I live in Arizona.
Let's go forward. I'm like, no, you can't. You can never root for the 49ers. So 49ers bad. Ayuk okay. Purdy okay. And that's
sure. That makes sense. Yeah.
But like, stop rooting for them.
When people ask me where I lived in Arizona, I tell them Gilbert because I just lived right there. Like Velvet, I was like in Val Vista and Baseline and Gilbert, right? And I get like, huh? And I'm like, Mesa. No, Phoenix.
East of Phoenix.
I was in Phoenix. Yep. 20 minutes east of Phoenix, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
All right, man. Kyle, thank you so much for your time. That's Kyle Madsen over at Niners Wire. You can catch his stuff there. And also on Twitter/X, if any of you are calling it X yet, he's at Kyle A. Madsen. He's a fantastic follow, not only for his 49ers coverage, because he's also a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
Thanks, Kyle. I know you got to get to the show, and I've got to record another show. So that wraps up this edition of the show, episode 496. That's Kyle Madsen. I'm Jess Stroot. Thanks for listening. Seth and I will be back next week to talk about how this game went.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.
Whoa!